can't say on the radio podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast, episode 155. Glad you're with us. I don't know if you can hear the vibe that Laura's kicking off, but it's an actual glow, a literal glow.
Yeah, you need your sunglasses because I'm glowing so hard.
And it's not from anyone who's heard over the last week or so that Laura does slugging, which is Vaseline on your face for moisture purposes to lock in all the serums and creams. But Laura Geddes got her first facial.
I sure did, and I feel fantastic.
Did you know it was that intense, of all the offerings included in a facial?
It's not intense. It's relaxing. No, I think that's the point of it.
But the intensity being, they do this, 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 they do this.
No, I had no idea how many layers of goop get put on your face. I forgot that it comes with a free brow wax. So, like, free, it's just included in the facial. Yeah. So that was great because they needed to get done. I lost my tweezers. and yeah, it was so relaxing. And I have to say, if you were like me and you've always been like, how do you find the budget to spend money on your face? Like, for me, I've always been like, no, I have other things I need to pay for. I need to be more responsible. Self-care is so important, and it was so nice to be forced to relax for an hour and a half. It was so great.
Did you, how close were you to having a little nap?
I wasn't close at all, because for me, everything was so new. And I also get really, I get super anxious before going into any kind of thing where somebody's touching me. And I'm not Fair even enough. Bothered by people touching me. I just overthink it. I'm like, what if I have bad breath or like ate too much garlic or something like that?
That's real. The anxiety. Yeah.
Because that's why Jeff's not eating any more Timbits. Here, pass them over.
Oh, sorry, buddy. No, well, I have to go
I'm
do a massage.
I'm ignoring these because, see, part of my glow up is I promised myself my goal is, and please understand that this is my own personal goal, but I want to get back to 23% body fat. That was my sweet spot where I personally like the look of muscles, and I still work out, and I actually have been getting some triceps going on and stuff, you know, but it's, you can't see those muscles very easily.
Well, these are terrible anyways. I wouldn't recommend eating them.
Awful. Oh, really? Oh. Did they not make them good this time?
No, terrible.
Honestly, they're such a...
Oh, it's so bad.
They were... Yeah, I'm going for a massage. I've worked mine, and it was a balance when I... So I spent 3 good years working out, and Benny saw there was a bit of a transformation. I lost 42-ish pounds. It was nice. My body kind of told me it didn't like what I was doing, so I didn't have a choice.
And it's always crazy to see...
You
all right?
Sorry, I just dropped my lip gloss. I didn't want it to break.
Because I see you every day, even on weekends sometimes, pre-pandemic. But anytime we get like a Facebook memory or something like that, that's back 4 years or something like that, we have 100% swapped places where I was, because I was like relatively lean coming into London.
Yeah.
And this is almost 5 years ago now. Yeah,
I think it's a curse of this show.
The hours. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm up. I was up 45 pounds, I think. And I'm down. I'm like halfway between there now.
Yeah. But good for you. You've been on a train. You've been on a quiet train, because me and Jeff will get off air. We will start talking about like what we're doing workout wise. And then you just kind of nod and ignore us, because I can tell we bore you.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden we have our weight and our, well, I have my body fat percentage written there too, up on our whiteboard that we have here in the studio. And it's so funny because every time we update, I'm always putting mine up. And Benny's like, oh yeah, I think I've lost like 20 pounds now. And you always like adjust your weight to put it down. But I've gained about 24 pounds, or you're around 20 to 24 pounds since. Man.
Mornings are the worst. Like that's a big part of it. Like sleep is terrible when you don't get much sleep. But for me, and I was talking about this the other day, well, when we had pink shirt day, I was like, I have one pink shirt and it was an extra large and I haven't been able to fit into it for a while. But I thought, because it's like a European extra large, right? So it's a medium anywhere else. But I was like, oh, I'm down 20 pounds. This is definitely going to fit. It definitely did not fit still. Like, I've just lost all my muscle mass, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's the only problem.
Well, listen, don't be so discouraged, because keep in mind, you do have muscle memory, even though it's been a long time that you haven't worked out. Like, anybody who hasn't been to the gym since the pandemic started, please don't get down on yourself, because the second you get back into that, you can bounce back quicker than you think.
Yeah.
My issue, though, is the eating, for sure. So I really, and I've been like, I have always had a really bad binge eating problem, and that has gone like through the roof, even like since before the pandemic started. So that's the thing that I got to get in check as part of this, because I've been putting in the work at home, like getting in home workouts, and like that part is totally fine, but you can't see it if you're eating it
Mm-hmm. Last night when I was thinking about working out, eating my Chicago mix from Costco.
I did it. But see, I ended up doing a workout despite not having a post-show nap yesterday.
Oh.
Oof.
But then I made cookies. And I ate a lot of the cookie dough. And that's the trick when you like start to like cook for yourself. I didn't have any cookies once they were done being made. But when you eat like 3 cookies worth of dough,
yeah,
it doesn't really count. And the cookies taste like shit. It wasn't even worth it.
Why did you try to make them healthy?
I always try to make my sweets healthy. And for the reason that I have a binge eating problem. So I would rather binge eat things that still taste similar to the real stuff. Mm-hmm. But... you know, slightly less bad.
Okay.
Doesn't mean I don't cut, like, I don't not have the real stuff too, but it's just, you gotta pick your battles.
I'm in this rut of, I have a desire to go, but I am just self-sabotaging to the point of, I'm not eating worse, I'm eating relatively the same. But what was nice is when you're working out, there in a way is less guilt.
You're counteracting it.
Yeah,
to an
you're like,
yeah.
Hey, I worked out a couple of times in the last 2 days, so if I want to have a like an extra 2-3 slices of pizza, you don't think about it. Now I'm really aware of my intake, so I'll still have pizza, but last night it was 2 slices. That was it.
That's good, no fun.
It is, but that's it. It is no fun. I like when I would be working out 4 and 5 times a week, feel great, get a little jacked, and then on the Friday night, eat the entire wheel of pizza.
Yeah.
Oh, see, I had little baby abs popping and stuff. My best was when I would eat more, like, from at least my body type, it works better for me to eat more like a bird, but I'm a big portion kind of gal.
Yeah. Mm.
But if I could start splitting even my lunch up into 2 meals, but then eat more frequently.
That's always the key.
I think that would shed. But I mean, some people can get super lean off of eating 3 giant meals a day. Everybody is different.
I bartended at an Italian restaurant, and the portion sizes were massive, and the whole family combined did not weigh as much as I did, and they would eat so much. Like the daughter of the owner, she was like less than 5 feet tall. I'll bet you she was 108 or 10 pounds. She was tiny, but then would muck an entire panzerotti almost every night, and at like 11:30 at night. That was the thing too.
Yeah,
like the end of the night. And I mean, they worked out. Her husband was a hockey player for a while, so they had a pretty good workout regime.
Yeah,
but holy crap, I could not imagine seeing all that food go into those tiny bodies.
Well, it's so crazy how different cultures react, because also like Brazil, there's not a lot of people who are necessarily considered obese. You don't see that a lot when you go there. And it's not like, okay, I'm breaking that stereotype. Nobody looks like supermodels there either. It's not like you just see a bunch of Gisele Bündchens walking around. Yeah. However, their staple with every single meal is rice and beans.
Yeah.
Like, it's so crazy. But also, like, I just feel like the culture is a little more active. They don't have fast food there.
Mm-hmm.
They have, like, there's not really any drive-thrus. If you're going to go in, you have to, like, sit at the cafe and eat your food. And it's normally, like, made in a bakery in the cafe.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And I think that's a big difference. Is because we are so used to, in North America, just, like, eating super quick things, and then you get a little mindless, and then it's like, whoa, there goes the whole bag.
Oh god, yeah, it's terrible. Drive-thrus, with respect to the business and how it rolls with the economy, it has to be conceivably the worst thing for us.
Terrible,
because you just sit and eat. You can go from sitting and working at your desk all day,
yeah,
or whatever you are, if you have a sedentary job, and then eat in your car home.
Yeah.
And then eat when you sit when you get home.
Oh,
like,
I know.
Like, we almost promote it with the way we've designed society.
We do. And that's exactly those. So for me, who I commute an hour and 15 minutes to work every single day, I've gotten in the habit of getting like a Tim's coffee and a cookie on the way home. And you get in that habit too. And you also train, especially working mornings. Like, I've also trained my mind now. It's just like, well, I need this to stay awake for the drive home. Mm-hmm. But I feel like tons of people must get into that. Like, if you're a trucker, you deserve a medal. You need to start doing glute activation exercises before you start your work day. Your lower back is going to hurt.
Oh, yeah.
Sitting on it all the time.
My dad, Big Ray. There's the name. It attaches to some truckers. Absolutely.
But anyway, that's like, it's not just the physical part that's part of my glow up either. I want to get my finances in check. Mm-hmm. I want to start hiking with the dog more. I also want to start, like, stop obsessing. Like, I love you guys, but I want to stop obsessing with work so much because...
Mm-hmm.
You're
That's something
more...
I learned a long time ago.
Yeah. Well, it's just like you're more than what your job is.
For sure. Absolutely.
Like, there are other things. Like, I like to paint. I like to hike my dog. Like, there's other parts of life, too.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. Agreed. You'll find your niche. Eventually, there's this balance that happens. I don't know if it's an age thing, an actual work or job experience.
I don't think I'll ever find that balance, to be honest with you.
No?
I'm a person that will like work myself to the extreme, and I'm a better person when I'm busy. But I also like I have planned my whole life. I've designed my life to not have to have that kind of balance because I don't have kids. I have a dog. I can do whatever I want when I want, and I would rather be busy. So that's if fair. I'm not working with work, I will be extremely busy. Like, we bought our first house and we decided, hey, let's gut our whole basement and turn it into an Airbnb. Like, there's no chill for us.
I'm in the same thing. For me, in order to calm my mind down, I need to be busy because if I sit, I overthink. So when I get home, I like cleaning because it's a good release.
Yep.
I love a good, home rental, you need a hand? Let me come and help you. Tasks and completion, that is a loop I love closing off.
It's great. Yep.
It feels good. Yesterday, we finally had the gas guy come back and readjust the valve on the stove in the back so it could go more flush. It only moved 2.5 inches, but I swear to God, I look at it like it's a new stove. The little things that bug me that get looked after, I feel so good. Mm-hmm. Where in reality, it had no impact on my day.
Makes you feel better. That's a good impact.
Doing little things. Nothing wrong with that.
Let's make a little switcheroony to the feature that now we've done it 3 times as we go around the room and take turns. It's called Question Master. It's a time where now these questions could be deeply personal, pop culture, headline related. They're all over the road, and that's kind of the best way to describe it. Add to it if I've missed it in any way.
Nope, that's it. I just thought it's fun to learn about other people. I like asking questions about other people, and I also see it as an opportunity for one of us to just shut up and listen for a little bit. There's nothing wrong with that. All right, so first question. What is your favorite quality in another human?
Kindness. No, hold on. Take that back.
Screw that.
Right or wrong answer?
I think this ties in and may be kind of one in the same. I appreciate people that have empathy because I feel you don't always have to agree with someone, but if you're empathetic to the situation, then at least to me, it's like, they're willing to understand. They don't have to agree, but at least they'll understand why or where I may be coming from or someone else in a situation. So I think someone that has empathy built into their DNA, I think those are important people to have in your life.
I like that.
That's
absolutely
solid.
I'm a big fan of relatability. I like having conversations with people, and I like it to be a very even conversation where I'm not struggling to keep it going, but equally I also get to talk. Like we've all, and especially working in radio, we've all met people who just need to constantly one up and have the better story and that sort of thing, you know. Like, and sometimes that's fun, especially if it is a work thing and we're all just telling stories of the craziest things that we've dealt with. That's fun, but meeting new people and going to events and that sort of thing, I love to be able to talk to somebody, you find something in common, you talk about that, but then again, it's still not I like this more than you do or whatever, I know more about this, but it's great to, I can find a pretty quick like connection with somebody just by having a couple of sentences back and forth where I'm like, okay, this is a good vibe. We could chat now for a bit. Or it's like, I got to get out of here. You know?
Yeah. It's like, you know, so you're saying you'd rather avoid that situation where you're talking to somebody than you're just trying to come up with questions in your head because there's like no fodder there.
Yeah. I hate the idea of an interview when it comes to just a talk with somebody. I love interviewing people. Like, that's always fun. If we have a guest or something like that, the interview aspect is super fun. But to just, if you're at a party or you're at an event and you're talking to somebody, it's like, how long does this have to go before I can just be like, well, great chat. We'll see you later.
To add on in kind of a combo of both responses, the things that I observe people missing and I wish more people had was self-awareness. And an example would be in conversation, like Benny said, if they know nothing about what you do and the conversation starts, but then they become so opportunistic or even try to lean into, it's like, are you stating that as a fact? For someone who just moments ago acknowledged you don't know anything about it.
That's always fun.
Now you're basically telling me, I can only use radio as an example. Like, people are like, oh, you're on the radio. Yeah. Oh, it's a really cool job to be famous. I go, no. There's no fame involved in this job.
It's a public job.
Thank
you. Heard that once or
twice?
Well, and that is the reality. It'd be like saying, a city council member, a little different in the role, but it's just a public job. They don't have superpowers, and we certainly don't. if you put in a couple of years of training or were given the opportunity, a lot of people could do this job. Not everybody, but it's the self-awareness thing. When people are missing that, man, can that kill a vibe? It can ruin an evening, a group date, even a party. Because there's that one person that's going around interrupting conversations like, oh my God, they just don't get it.
Yeah, it's just a vibe check.
Yeah. Thank you.
Exactly.
Yeah, self-awareness. And if you don't know what self-awareness is, then clearly that means you're not self-aware.
Go see a therapist. All right, second question. Tell me about, I want you to think about this. Tell me about your funnest memory.
Oh man.
Like a time where you had the most fun. If you were sitting around a circle and you wanted to tell people like, this is the most fun I've ever had in this situation. What was it?
One out of your entire life.
Yep. Pick one. You don't get two.
Man, I think I have it, and I bring it up all the time.
Do
but
it.
It's going away home with Jay Stevens in 2017, which I think was the final way home. And not even that the acts were good. We saw some great bands. Imagine Dragons was there, and we actually ended up staying an additional night to catch them because we actually had the Pride Parade on Sunday here in London, and the station had a contest where we married a couple on our float. So we had to be there, and we had to be in good shape. We were not in good shape, but we were going to come back the night before until we decided, you know what, it'd be fun to see Imagine Dragons. But even all the shows aside that we saw, it was a weekend of, and I mean, for me, it was one of the first times that I was able to get away for a little bit of time with no kids. So it was like going back to being a teenager, and we had a lot of horrible food, a lot of beverages, a lot of barefoot walking around in the grass because felt good. There was a great backdrop of music. And then we still also had some of the funniest things happen to us in the span of like 36 hours or however long we were there, from accidentally setting off our car alarm at like 3 a.m. in a campground where everybody was tripping or or dead asleep, to the next day we avoided that by keeping one of the back hutch open of the vehicle, and Jay's feet were sticking out because he slept in the back and his feet were sticking out, and he got woken up at sunrise by somebody hula hooping and tickling his feet.
They were still mid-trip, obviously.
Oh yeah, they were, absolutely. And he started talking to us about Virgin Mobile because we were in a Virgin Radio vehicle, and we're like, okay. And then the dude, he just out of nowhere stopped what he was doing. The hula hoop fell to his ankles, and he just pointed at the sun. That's all he did.
What?
Oh,
man, it was glorious.
That's
amazing. Was a fun time.
And then you
drove
home the next morning, right?
The morning of the foot tickling is the morning that we drove home.
What a way to wake up. Morning.
We're like, well, we've accomplished everything. Let's go home.
I'm in a tough spot because there are two memories within the last 5 years.
You get one. I'm question master. You're not. You get one, buddy. Which one was more fun? You have to choose between your fun children. Which one is more fun?
They're different, but they both scored a 100 for perfection. That's the thing.
I don't know. There's lots of different fun experiences. You can only choose one, though.
Can we do one and then a special mention?
Nope.
Is one of them a co-event?
No, I can't. These two don't connect in any way. That's the problem. That's the problem. Damn. Because one was just...
He started to talk about both of them. You have to pick one.
No,
pick one.
I'm trying. I need help. I need help for you to tell me which one.
Story one, story two, name them in your head. Okay, and I'm going to pick a number.
No.
Number two.
You want number two?
Yep.
He's still deciding which one
he wants to talk about.
No. Damn, girl.
I'm the captain of the ship right now.
I know,
pick a story.
I know. So this is a memory. This goes back a couple of years. Benny and I just started working together.
This might be I think this was my close runner up from what I was going to say.
So I've got a buddy, and he has a company that's in the sports world dealing with notably professional teams.
Yep.
So with
yeah,
this,
okay.
There are a lot of client visits. What I mean that is between Buffalo, Detroit, and Toronto, the visiting teams, when they come in, if it's NHL season, then we'll go down to said city, because usually teams, they come into Toronto, especially if they're from either the west part of the country or even from the U.S., they'll come in for multiple nights. They'll play a game and or two. But a lot of players are usually from the GTA, so the teams try to arrange it that they can get, say, 3 days in town, where it's like, arrive, have fun. If you're going to go out, dinners, parties, recovery day, practice, sleep, game on the third day. That was the case when the Vancouver Canucks came into Toronto. I had been selling Benny on... I don't know if you'd met Adam yet, my buddy Adam, by that time.
I don't think I had.
And I just talked about, he is the funnest guy. He says yes to everything. He is a labradoodle. He's just happy all the time. You want a party? Yes, I do. Like, that's Adam. Do you want to do this? Yes, I do. So we were chatting, and Adam was like, hey, like, Benny sounds fun. He said, why don't we bring him the next time we have a team visit? So the team visit, the team flies in, and I'm a bit of a hockey dork too. So he was like, well, maybe we can go set up the dressing room and then we'll go for dinners and drinks and whatever. Didn't work out just because the ACC is so busy. So it was like, hey, instead of the whole setup, we're just going to meet him down at the lobby bar. Well, NHL teams travel in class. Stayed at the Ritz-Carlton. So we stayed at the Ritz-Carlton.
Ooh.
Almost $600 a night at the time. Don't know what
that's about. Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah.
Lovely spot. Two king beds in the room, and it was just the three of us.
Oh, wow. How'd you split that up?
I can't even...
Oh, Jeff and Adam together, for sure.
Yeah. So we get after this fun time, and it starts in the early afternoon. Like, Adam picks us up. We hop in the car and head down to Toronto, and basically we bag toss. We get up to the room and open the door, and you just like punch your bag in because you want to go right downstairs to start getting after it. So we wheel downstairs, and they're at the bar. There's three of them. So we start drinking at like 3:30, 4 o'clock. It's amazing. Just a couple of warm-up drinks, and then there was a funny joke happened that accidentally the coach paid. He thought he was just paying for his... There's an equipment manager who manages all the gear for the players, and there's the trainers or therapists that would deal with injuries, right? So when they go on the road, the coaching staff's always very friendly and buys them dinner because those guys don't make the money the coaches and the players make.
For sure.
Yeah.
They are the back end and make everything function. So they get treated to nice dinners and drinks. So the coach came in, and the three or four guys were sitting, and then it was myself and Benny and Adam. Oh, and his brother-in-law, Ben, was there. There was four of us.
Yep.
So... the coach didn't realize, so he was kind of melting off and being a big wheel and whatever, and we're glancing, not really saying much. He's like, hey, I got the bill. Well, he thought he was buying like $80 worth of drinks. It was like $400 a drink.
Oh, my God.
So it started like, we laughed. We had a great time.
Yeah.
So that was only the beginning. Then we go out for this wonderful meal. I was starting to get a little buzz. This was kind of my first foray also into edibles as well. We're into red wine, and then it was like, hey, look, I brought a bag of these.
So then, a large bag.
We all get into this. We have an awesome dinner, the whole bit. And again, this is all paid for because this is, quote, a work trip. Our job, it's Benny and I, we're kind of like cruise directors. Let's make sure everybody has the most amount of fun.
Absolutely.
We go through that. Then we're out for dinner. Then after that, it's bar hop, drink, bar hop, drink. Oh, someone knows the guy. And when you're with an NHL team, even when you're not a player, man, do you get special treatment.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've seen club promoters act like all of their best friends are like, the crew's here. It's like, I can imagine how elevated that is with people who actually matter.
It was insane. And on top of that, Adam, like, he'd walk in, yeah, I'll take six bottles of vodka. And like, what?
No,
And then he's pouring shots into people's mouths.
Now, water.
Like,
there's
like every party movie ever, like the montage.
Exactly. Oh, that's what it was for sure.
Yeah, there's a video of Benny just open mouthing.
Grey Goose.
Oh, yeah. We're talking like not off the road. We're talking the good stuff. So then we end up, we're past midnight. We're in a whole other day now. And the whole time was funny and hilarious. So we're going into the last club. And at that time, everybody's pretty well buckled. And it was the old, oh my God, bouncers are going to pat us down and they're going to find two edibles on us or four edibles and we're going to get in trouble. Let's just take them. So we ate them.
It was just it's the best way to get rid of them.
Wow.
So, fast forward about 45 minutes to an hour later. We're down, and I can't remember the bar, but it was like under a hotel, in the back, almost like a speakeasy in a way.
Yep, for sure.
And there was the main floor DJ booth, and then a special VIP area. We were back there, where every bottle came out with sparklers and fireworks, and people on swings, and they think we're a big deal. The staff's there, so they're leaning in our table for tips, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting all this extra attention. We can't find Ben. Ben's gone.
Oh, no.
Benny is gone. And I'm going, oh, God, I'm texting him. No response. Trying to call. Adam can't find him. But we're all crushed at this time as well. We can't find Benny. I finally get a hold of him. Pal, where are you? I don't know. What? I don't know. Hey, take some pictures. Send it to me. We'll find you. Have you ever run with your phone and just held the camera down? It's just streaks of light.
Yeah. It was light gray, fuzzy.
Where are you? I'm in stairwells. What? Long story short, it was another 40 minutes later. We couldn't find Ben. He somehow got out of the bar and ended up in a stairwell to a parking garage.
Mm-hmm. I have no idea how
But in
happened.
The basement. So he was like, I can't go anywhere but up. We're like, where are you? Only by chance, he came up to the street. I was like, okay, just stay on the phone and keep walking till you can get to the street. We'll find you, pal. We're looking and looking, and I look down. And I'm like, and I see this big, tall guy, and you can see him shaking. Like, hey, turn to your left and wave your hands. He turned. I'm like, Benny! He was a block, half a block away in some parking garage and two buildings over.
How does
over.
That even happen?
I honestly have no idea. I disappeared because I had to use a bathroom. And I could not find the bathroom for the life of me. So I ended up on the dance floor for a little while because I got like roped into the dance floor for a bit. I threw up on the dance floor and then I bolted out of there.
we couldn't find him. Adam and his brother-in-law, Ben, love new Ben. Like, this guy is a time. The Canucks guys can't get enough of him. He was the star. He was the belle of the ball. So then fast forward to, well, we must go for we went ended up at a diner because I had a growl on because the gummies.
Mm-hmm.
So we had like 2 a.m. waffles and eggs, and it just kept coming. Then we go back to the Ritz-Carlton, and about 3:30 in the morning, order a good $250 of room service.
I've seen the videos of this, actually.
Oh, man. Chicken Caesar wraps and sweet potato fries. That I remember.
And then on the ride home, it was very quiet as I'm looking, and I capped it off with a Snapchat of Ben and a face filter.
I think it was a clown, I'm pretty sure.
And he is just out cold, like a baby after a breast milk feed. Like, he was not moving. And I know that was a long story long, but that, to me, I couldn't stop laughing. Like, my cheeks were sore from laughter.
Yeah. It was so much joy.
My stomach, it was, thank you. Joy is the best way to sum it up. It was an amazing eight or 10 hours of fun. Only second to the
Oh, hey!
I just had to. I couldn't hold it in.
Benny, can we cut that part?
That was a blast. Yeah, those were my favorite moments.
Yeah, that was good times for sure. I love those types of nights, and I'm glad that they don't happen that often because it would kill me for one.
Well,
thing,
and I've made this promise, and I've delivered once. Laura, you're coming the next trip.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
you're coming with us.
I can do that. I did that. I had nights like that every single weekend when I was a bar host last January.
Yeah,
so,
fair.
I mean, again, and I'll circle back, and I think this is a great way to wrap up this podcast. That's why I'm doing 2 months of self-care now.
Oh, there you go.
A little cleanse inside.
Yeah, I need it.
There's a fun installment of Question Master. We wrap it all up with some weekly show highlights. Thanks for always checking it out. And if you're new to the podcast, welcome. Here to have a ton of fun and appreciate you listening. And here's some weekly show highlights. We'll chat soon.
Jeff and Laura with Backstage Ben.
Virgin Radio.
Two spots in southwestern Ontario. They are touting jobs, space, and nature in as independent marketing campaigns. They're trying to attract people who are leaving the GTA. One is called the Don't Tell Toronto campaign. That is here in the city of London.
Sorry, that's so funny.
That's awesome.
I've been going through the website. It says, look, we love Toronto too, but let's face it, it's a tough one out there. Tough to find affordable living, tough to find a bit of green space, tough to find parking when you need it. Well, that used to be a thing. I mean, there's a lot more space now. This is interesting. So the average price house price in London is about $600,000. It has crept up significantly in the last 12 to 13 months. Waterloo Region was a little bit ahead because it's been a bedroom community for the GTA for forever.
Waterloo Region has been in a housing crisis since before the pandemic started. The average house price in Waterloo Region is $800,000 to $850,000.
It's a great number if you got in cheap, but then unless you are moving far, far away to a land that we have yet to discover.
Down, honestly. Yeah,
you've got to scale down and downsize.
Well, my neighbor just sold her house in Waterloo, and she said, to be honest with you, it was really hard. We wanted to downsize. It was so hard to find a place. She found a condo, but paid way more than she was expecting for it. It's so tough.
So on the website of donttelltoronto.ca, it highlights the city of London's 356 parks, 7 million trees, a population density of about 180 people per square kilometer, and that is compared to Toronto that has 4,150 people per square kilometer.
Yeah, they're all on top of each other.
Yeah, pretty much. Exactly. Yeah. 6,000 job postings in London, and they're saying that these aren't serving coffee or french fries. These are high-paying jobs in a technical field. Now, let's be real. Kitchener-Waterloo and the tech side has been killing it forever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
London is catching up. Video game development, software development, it is coming along nicely. So let's shift gears. We're going to go a little further north, about two and a half hours.
I'm so nervous.
The city of Owen Sound has trademarked the title of Work From Home Capital of Canada.
I go
and
there.
And they're offering you a pair of pajamas to people who visit the website.
That's a joke, right?
No, you get a pair of Owen Sound flannel pajamas. It reads, you consider yourself a city person. But recently, all the things you have loved about the place that you live have disappeared. It's like you're saying the Toronto Blue Jays have disappeared. Nah, they're just playing this season in Florida. They'll be back. The Raptors will return.
Yes, yes.
They're not going away. Quote, you're paying a premium price to be near things that aren't what they used to be. Yeah, for now.
For now.
I don't love the sell. I feel that London's angle seems a lot more thought out and a clean approach in comparison to Owen Sound.
If you're trying to attract people who are really interested in pajama pants... Is that the type of people you want to try?
You know what they probably are? They're probably the same pair of plaid pants that people in Owen Sound wear on the streets to go grocery shopping.
That's what I mean, yeah.
Listen, though, we all know I have some thoughts on Owen Sound as somebody who grew up in beautiful Bruce County. You go there, unfortunately, to go to bigger stores, and it's where fun goes to die. People of Owen Sound are good people. I know some people who have come out of there. Ship everybody from Toronto there. Maybe they could make it great again.
That's just it. Think of it. Get some population growth and growing up 25 minutes outside of it. And Owen Sound was the going into town for us as kids. And I know. It was fun because you'd go to the mall, you'd go and you'd do things that, yeah, maybe a little injection of 30, 40,000 people to that city. You double it in size.
Could be good. Owen Sound could be booming again.
You can't deny its beauty. It is, mm-hmm. Its locale is pristine and beautiful. Okay, but you have... Like, you've got a whole Great Lake.
You can't compare Owen Sound to Kincardine in any way, shape, or form, so I'll just exit this conversation. Go ahead.
You may have Lake Huron, but you don't have the Chichimon. Do you have a big boat?
No, but we have a shipwreck.
Well, give the Chichimon a little more time.
Jeff and Laura with Backstage Ben every morning.
Virgin Radio.
A glow-up leading up to Laura's 30th birthday. Break it down for what happened with you and the beautiful Brazilian boyfriend.
So here's the deal. First of all, I have a name for this, Jeff. It's called Operation 30 Flirty and Thriving. And Saturday marked T-minus exactly 2 months. My birthday is coming up on April 27th, and I've decided I want to be my best self heading into this new decade of life. I started quarantine when I was 28, and I will be having my 30th birthday in quarantine. I've accepted that. However, it's a privilege to age, so I want to make sure I'm my best self heading into this new decade. And I was explaining all the things. I have a list on my phone of all the things I want to do. Bunch of beauty treatments. I also want to get my finances in order, get my body in check. And I was showing this to the beautiful Brazilian boyfriend, and he flat out said, I think you're having a midlife crisis, but too young.
Yeah, midlife crisis.
Oh, yeah. So
but I'm not freaking out about turning 30. I'm actually excited to turn 30, but I'm focusing on myself purely for the next 2 months. What's so wrong with that?
I honestly don't disagree. I think you've got the right mindset for it.
I think he's nervous because one of the things on my list, I have Botox? ? I think he's freaked out by that.
Well, if you
did, he mistake it for boyfriend?
Did you scribble a little bit? Your cursive was off.
No, I got a full list. I'm getting a facial for the first time in my life on Wednesday.
Well, and what did you tell us earlier? We kicked off the show. You went, boys, guess what I did last night?
I shaved my face for the second time ever.
You have
the
to
whole thing.
Context that because people will the image will be you in a chic 5-blade razor.
No, it's just a 1-blade razor. I've seen beauty gurus talk about how good it is to shave your face for so often, and just how nice it makes your makeup go on.
Mm-hmm.
And I started doing it. Like, you just do it once a month. I'm telling you, your mustache does not grow back thicker. Everything remains the same. You could barely even see my peach fuzz, but I just wanted that smoothness.
Now, please correct me because I'm not really into the world completely. I'm very fringy. Is that what dermaplaning is when you do the face shave?
No, you can't do dermaplaning at home because you need a surgical grade scalpel to
okay.
do that.
Okay,
yeah.
But it's like a poor woman's dermaplaning.
You've shaved your face more in the past 2 months than I have.
Oh.
I think he was wrong, the boyfriend with the crisis statement. I like the mindset. It's almost like a New Year's resolution, but it's like a new you resolution, an updated version.
Yeah, well, I've been treating my body like garbage since before the pandemic. So, and I did flat out have a quarter life crisis before I turned 25. And that was like the best year I've had. So nothing wrong with it. I'm not scared. Lip blushing. You heard of that one?
No.
It's permanent, like lipstick, basically. It's like a
little
tattoo.
Oh, like the tattoo. Right. Which I know some go down the line in regards to eyebrows, right? So it's yeah. A lip tattoo. What if you change your mind about 5 years down the line? What do? You have to re-tattoo
it? Because it fades, though. I think it fades within a year.
Oh, okay.
Nothing is, like, super permanent. Now, it's not all about the looks, though, either. I promise myself I need to actually get a hold of my binge eating problem because it's become pretty serious during the pandemic. And so far, so good. Sleep 7 hours a day. Hike with Limbo more often during the week. We've been rocking weekend hikes, but I just feel like we are not living our best lives during the weeks. And that's 5 days. That's the majority of your time. Mm-hmm. You need to live your best life during the weekdays.
Your schedule is, it's enough for three people. So Ben and I, we will sit and support you on these sidelines, and you will enter your 30s looking like $1 million, feeling like $1 billion. It's a good mindset.
You guys want to get your lips blushed with me?
No.
We could all get it.
I am missing eyebrows. So they're hat.
You want to get microbladed?
I might.
That's what it's called.
Well, whenever we have to do CTV, we have to color it in because it starts out nice and dark and then it fades to blonde. And this isn't the first time I had that problem. When my pubic hair arrived, it came in really faded
oh
and then
gosh.
It just kind of faded out to blonde. What?
I'm talking about turning 30. I don't need to hear about adolescent Jeff and his pubes.
30, 12, they're kind of the same, aren't they?
When you're a dude.
Yeah. All right. Mornings with Jeff, Laura, and Backstage Ben.
Virgin Radio.
Your car is worth some money, but not this kind of money. Yeah, even your clunker. That's why usually when it's seen its last few kilometers in the road, it goes off to the scrapyard, and they can strip that down. One of the most valuable pieces on your car is one you've never seen, you've never touched.
Oh.
You know if it's broken.
Sounds like all the parts of my car, to be honest with you.
Your catalytic converter is that big clunky piece that reduces emissions and the noise the car produces. So it's attached to the exhaust system.
Does it have anything to do with the muffler?
Yep, it's part of the whole exhaust system.
Okay.
So there are three precious metals, rhodium, palladium, and platinum. Rhodium is $19,000 an ounce, and it is worth 10 times more than gold.
Holy.
Palladium, $2,200 an ounce. Platinum, about $1,300. So you can do the math quick. Southwestern Ontario has just been slammed in the last couple of months. The Guelph area, dozens, including, how about this, an HVAC company, half of their service vehicles underneath, someone just slid underneath and cut them all out. So they went to start bright and early to go service furnaces or AC units and blah, 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 and because they cut it out.
That's brutal.
So they've been gutted. Kitchener-Waterloo Region 2 seeing the same issues into Stratford. London getting some love with the catalytic converter thieves.
So we got a text from Robert in Hespeler, and he said, I work for a steel recycling company, and I see how much one can go for, and it's insane. He
I'm
guessed
curious.
It when you were talking about this earlier. He was like, were you talking about the cat converter?
It's a big problem, but also didn't know, but this popped up where the issue is, and people, you think, I have insurance for my car. Well, you're not wrong with that. But this kind of theft isn't covered. I mean, maybe
what, specific part theft?
Really?
So it's roughly seven. So you're paying your deductible. But one gentleman, and he talked to CTV News about it, saying, yeah, I figured it was a quick phone call, just like if you had your stereo stolen.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't work the same. So a $700 bill to get it replaced. The only way the money can get reclaimed and he can essentially do an insurance claim is the person responsible or people responsible for the crime, they've got to be caught, convicted, and then with restitution, repay the cost.
Right.
Well, if they're underneath cars ripping off catalytic converters, chances are they aren't going to just e-transfer you the money and go, sorry about your problems.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, just give me all your bank info and I'll give you the money.
Oh,
what are what's it made out of that?
So rhodium is the one that's really valuable.
That's the, okay.
Yeah, that's $19,000 an ounce. And then you have a palladium and then platinum too.
Joke's on them. Everything my car's made out of is erodium.
What is Rusco for an ounce?
Yeah.
Apparently very little. Methods of protection, as police say, try your best if you can park it indoors in a garage, well-lit area. But also, thieves, they have bolt cutters too, and they don't appear to be too scared of hitting the garage door opener of your other vehicle to go in and, well, and chop that up.
I'll tell you this. There's some issues with my neighborhood in Waterloo right now. My neighborhood group is saying that people are, robbers are just flat out trying to go through your front door now. They're just checking if they're locked. So if your car is outside, that's like, that's probably an easy pick now.
Oh, absolutely. The old smash and grab. I mean, you may hear the grinder underneath your car now, though. So a little more ahead. And police are catching people under cars, like pulling legs out, like, excuse me.
Oh, wow.
And no one does a driveway oil change at 3:30 a.m. No, I'm pretty sure.
My inner farmer is speaking, though. I know this is a terrible question, but is it one of those parts that you could just maybe make your neighbors hate you with and, you know, maybe just say goodbye to it forever?
No, no, you could not replace your catalytic. One, the emissions, it would look like a coal plant.
Oh, would it? Oh, okay, sorry.
You would hate driving your own vehicle. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a good deterrent if you want to get back to walking to work and stay healthy, but you're driving cars on the road that aren't worth $700.
Amen.
It's Jeff and Laura in the morning with Backstage Ben. My station.
Virgin Radio.
Ontario Provincial Police basically forwarding on a press release going, listen, drivers, just a mini refresher of what you can and can't do while behind the wheel. Yesterday, a gentleman was charged and fined $110 after he was caught cruising on the 401 with his dog on his lap.
Oh.
Oh, boy.
Not a wee dog, like a full-size, like a 60-pound dog was just hanging out. Just arms around his furry buddy, just going for a toot in the fast lane. Hammer down.
Jeez.
You can't. I thought that was a wee dog territory only, and even then, that's obviously questionable, but
yes.
To have a big dog in the lap. Whew.
If even think of a little dog in an airbag going off. There's your dog. That's it. Done. Done.
Thank you for the visual.
The sound effect, too. It's great.
Oh, that's so terrible. Yeah. I mean, but it is true. I even get nervous with driving, like, with Limbo in the back seat. Don't forget, if you want your dog to be the safest, isn't the back of the vehicle always the safest? Isn't that why small children normally have to sit towards the back?
Back of the back seat, a harness, something along those lines.
Yeah, the doggy seatbelt's about $24 in any pet store. Or if they're in the backpack of an SUV, buy the expandable cage that you can put up. So when if you... Hopefully never, but you have to really pump those brakes that Puppers does not make an appearance in the front row. So there, I didn't even know this charge existed, but if you have those kind of things, you get dinged with a charge called driving while crowded. That's under the Ontario Highway Traffic Act.
Too many legs.
Driving while crowded.
Funny, but it's not. Like, this sounds like a wacky Indiana story, but no, this is happening here in the region. So a few other little bullet point stories for what officers have witnessed on the road. This, over the last month or so, think of the couple of snowstorms we've had. A fully covered SUV, all windows were fully covered with snow, the caked on kind of partial ice, like a nice glazed donut, except for about a 4-inch spot for the driver's eyes. It was like they were driving a light armored vehicle.
Come on.
And they had used a credit card to scrape through. And their logic was, well, when I get going, it'll fall off or eventually melt.
Incorrect.
Thank you.
You dumb.
Another person, again, with snow, no wipers during the storm, so they had their hands out the window trying to just clear snow when it became too much.
I know exactly what happened to them that morning. They're the type of person that was hoping that they could just use their washer fluid to clean off their windshield, and both of their wipers popped off. They were probably running late, so they said, screw it. I'm just going to drive.
Yeah.
Two more quick ones. Eating ice cream well on your cell phone. Multitasking is a skill, but there's
that's
certain
to do not driving.
I know, but that's not a thing you need to do. Well,
no.
Being clocked at about 120 kilometers an hour. And lastly, in this one, it's timeless. The good old wardrobe change while behind the wheel. This officer happened to pull a woman over who was late for an important meeting and only had partially had a bra on. So
tarps off while driving?
Full tarp.
Good habits.
I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty of that. Okay, sometimes you have a bra that is, one, uncomfortable to begin with, but two, you notice mid-drive that you're like, why does it feel like there's a shank in my ribs? And then you realize that you're stupid enough to make it all twisted and you've been wearing it like that all day. Sometimes you just need that relief. If it's been a long drive, you just go through the back. But I can do that one-handed. There's no distracted driving going on. One hand is always on the wheel.
I feel like other people on the road might be distracted.
Jeff and Laura in the morning with Backstage Ben
on Virgin Radio.
I did not know that.
The cyberpunk dystopia is here. The latest sign, it comes in the form of a robot dog that was
deploy to do a job a human normally does with the police service. So NYPD, they deployed Boston Dynamics. If you don't know the name, it's a simple Google search. Boston Dynamics, they've been making robots for years. Recently purchased by Hyundai. You may have heard of them. So what this dog does is it doesn't have a head. It basically has the body of a dog, the legs, like it, and it makes the like it sounds like a robot.
It's like a headless dog.
Yeah. It's mildly frightening. So they've been using it in the field. They, unbeknownst to me, someone who kind of was been following this, they did use it the first time in the field in October, but it's in a bit of a test phase right now. The one that was used just the other day was surrounding a home invasion, and they wanted it to capture photos of the crime scene. And it has the ability to log in like 3D imagery and like all the different sensors and things that humans just don't have.
And they can open doors too, which is one of the scariest aspects of them.
What?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes, they can. We'll show you some videos after this.
I've already seen the one video of it walking on the street. That was scary enough. It wasn't even doing anything then. It was just popping around.
There are features that include weaponizing these animals. Oh, well, if you call them that. Robots. Let's just go back to what
Let's
they are.
Let's not.
So they in October, they actually used it to help find a gunman who had barricaded himself inside a building after he accidentally shot someone during a parking dispute in Brooklyn.
Good Lord.
Oh.
So the dog went in and found him. And they're kind of indestructible. Like, they'll take a bullet or two and ping-pang and shoot off. It's very RoboCop-esque.
Yeah.
It's very Black Mirror-esque. There is an episode of Black Mirror that features a version of these dogs, and it is terrifying.
I could not watch that show for how depressing and scary it was.
It is depressing and scary, but it's incredible. Yeah. It's really good.
There are valid points to this. By putting those robots in place of humans, you lower the risk of the loss of human life. You
yes.
lose a robot, yep. rebuild it. It's yep. just money.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
So I feel like there's a place for it, but there most definitely needs to be some limitations or rules to this. I think AI would be a terrible idea because then it would just make itself better.
And
we
yeah.
I know, yeah.
We don't need that. But they said the menial side of police service, like traffic tickets. Could you imagine you're zipping down Hellington Road and you're going a little too quick?
Got a dog chasing behind you.
Oh, my God.
Up aside, you see flashing lights. You're like, oh, God.
It just poops out a ticket for you.
That? Yeah.
What if you can bribe them with kibble?
I wonder, yeah.
No, you'd have to throw a little microchips out the window.
Yeah. Get away.
Trouble is, right now, it's cost. It's almost $1 million a dog. And last time I checked, even, you know, the Malinois, they're not cheap.
No.
But they're really reliable. Mm-hmm. Same mm-hmm. with German Shepherds. So it'll be interesting. This is one of the biggest police forces in the world. And if it works for them, the likelihood it'll work for smaller ones, too. So we're going to follow this story. This is super interesting.
That's the thing with the smaller ones, though, is they definitely won't be able to afford that.
You mean Chatham won't have a dog?
Nope. Sure won't. They don't even have a real dog. Yeah.
Jeff and Laura with Backstage Ben.
Virgin Radio.